Welcome back, Believe in Ravens podcast. Daniel Wilcox, Matt Trigger. This is the Pittsburgh Steelers playoff week. The Ravens are hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers at the bank at 8 o'clock on Saturday night. This is brought to you by BetOnline.ag, the number one most trusted source for all online sports wagering. Daniel, the opening line for the Pittsburgh Steelers game. We are giving Pittsburgh 10 points, and the over-under is 43 points. Total for the game. So
What do you mean we're giving them 10 points?
We are a 10 point underdog.
I like it.
Pittsburgh is a 10 point underdog. We are giving them a touchdown and a field goal at home. So they are expecting us to beat Pittsburgh by double digits. I don't necessarily like that. Because this doesn't really take into account any of the injuries that are going on right now for either team. We'll get to that in a couple minutes, but the over-under is 43 points scored. Now, most of the time for Pittsburgh and Baltimore, you want to take the under because the first game they scored a total of 34 points. Mm-hmm. And then there was the anomaly when they came to Baltimore a couple weeks ago and the Ravens hung 34 on them and they scored a garbage touchdown to get to 17 in the final quarter. But as much as this game is anticipated, it sucks that we're not going to have Zay. I think Zay being out is going to hurt this team. Mm-hmm. On the contrary to Zay, Justice Hill is back in the lineup this week. So I don't know about you, Daniel, but I believe that Justice could get some of those bubble screen type touches that are meant for Zay around the line of scrimmage, considering they have a similar explosive skill set. I'm not going to say that Justice is as fast as Zay is in the open field, but just similar skill sets. I think there's not going to be a huge fall off to that particular part of the offense.
The only thing about that, by bringing in a wrinkle, by putting a running back out there, is it's kind of noticeable that you're actually moving him out. So it'll draw more attention than a receiver being out there that's always out there. So a lot of that bubble screen stuff will probably have to go to maybe Tez Walker. You know, you got Walker, yeah. who's really just kind of starting to show up, you know, about 2 weeks ago. He's a guy that we really haven't had a chance to see the true speed that he has. He's supposed to be a long distance speedster type guy to blow the roof off the defense. So if he got that type of quickness and speed, we might need to get this guy, you know, active this week and see what it looked like. My thing is, I haven't seen him really take a hit in the NFL. I don't know how well he will absorb some of that contact. Zay did such a phenomenal job of making you think you was going to hit him. And then right at the last second, he took his whole body away from you and you end up hitting nothing but air. And I don't know if Walker got that type of twitchiness or that type of suddenness in his movement.
And that's true. We know that Tylan Wallace doesn't have that type of twitchiness. He's more of a possession guy that can get the tough yards. He's a little bit more physical with the ball in his hands, and he will. I think this might be a game where he sees some of the Zay passes. Now the thing is, Bateman is always a productive wide receiver too in this offense. Now by default this week, Bateman's our number one, and I'm not saying that Bateman's not going to be able to handle that, but mm-hmm. Bateman's always been getting the other team's second best or third best corner, depending on who's on the field. So now Bateman might have Joey Porter Jr. shadowing him the entire game. And how does that look with the Ravens without Zay? I think all this is an important factor, though, Daniel. But the biggest elephant in the room is, can they stop King Henry? And that's going to be tough. Let's get into some of the stats that have gone on for the 2024 matchups with the Baltimore Ravens. In terms of time of possession, the Ravens average, this is between both games, everybody, for the time of possession, the Ravens lead the Steelers 34 minutes to 26 between both games.
That's a huge
difference. That's an 8 minute time of possession difference. The Ravens on average total 361 total yards, and 171 of those are rushing. And the Steelers average 322 yards and only average 121 rushing. So there's another big disparity in overall yardage and rushing yards. The Ravens have not had a problem running on Pittsburgh this year. averaging almost, you know, averaging 171 yards. That's a hell of a day for the running game. The Ravens averaged 22 first downs per game as opposed to the Pittsburgh Steelers 18. The Ravens also lead the Steelers in plays per game at 68-57. Penalties, the Ravens commit half the amount of penalties Pittsburgh does in their meetings this year, Daniel. Pittsburgh has a total of 8 per game, and the Ravens are at 4 per game. And then to kind of round everything out, just to talk about the matchups, not only with the players, but, you know, we were talking before the show, and you wanted to bring this up, Daniel. Mm-hmm. The playoff records of John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin since they've been coaches. Now, they are two of the longest – they are the two longest tenured head coaches in the NFL. Tomlin in year 18 and Harbaugh in year 17. And Tomlin has won Super Bowl. Harbaugh has won Super Bowl as well. Tomlin does lead Harbaugh with 7 AFC North division titles, and Harbaugh has 5. But in one less year, Harbaugh has a 12-10 record in the playoffs, and the Steelers have an 8, and Tomlin has an 8-10 record in the playoffs. It's interesting that these guys are so evenly matched, and they're a year apart in coaching. There's a lot that goes into this game, Daniel, and it's an intense rivalry. Now that, you know, it seems like it flared up again this year with the trash talking and the jabs and all that. And now you got the old school Ravens football that we just talked about a minute ago with this rushing and the stout defense and the hard hitting action. How do you feel about everything going into Saturday night?
I feel good, man. I don't care about the injuries at this point. It's the best team going to show up and win, and the best team with the best quarterback. I think we got the best quarterback. I think we got a better defense. I feel like we got the best running game. I feel like we're the most talented team. You know, the thing that kind of had me biting my nails is the coaching situation, because sometimes our coaches just don't put their best effort forward. And when I say that, I'm only talking about game plan, right? They could, our coaches could coach their ass off. So let's be clear with that, you know, but I just feel like sometimes there's a game plan issue where we just don't go out and game plan as best as we possibly could. So let's take the KC game, the first game of the year. I felt like you knew you had a bunch of young offensive linemen. You put them up against one of the best pass rushers in Jones that they're going to see all year. In the very first game, you let these boys go out there and get whipped up on by Jones because you had them blocking one-on-one with Jones the entire game. You know, Pittsburgh don't do that type of stuff. Like, they're going to double you. They're going to chip you. They're going to basically irritate you all night long and make it a horrible night for you. And I felt like we missed a bunch of opportunities, you know, this year. That same thing with the Las Vegas game. You know, that boy got off on us all game Max long. Crosby. What is it? Crosby. Yeah, Crosby got off on us all game long. And it was only because we let him run free without getting chipped, without him getting double teamed. You can only let the best player on defense do that to your offense, man. And
you're right.
And harass your quarterback the way we allow these guys to do sometimes. So those are the things to me that really piss me off. You know, now you got TJ Watt coming back in. He's a lot healthier than he was last time we played him. You know, and thank God. I want him to be at his best. I don't want nobody to be at their worst when they play us, especially when we give them this ass whipping. So I'm looking forward to seeing how we're going to come out and prepare this week. I'm praying to God that the Baltimore Ravens staff understands the magnitude of every single game moving forward, and they take full advantage of chipping, double teaming, and putting pressure on these guys, and even running the ball away from guys sometimes is just as good as blocking them, you know, and chipping them. Just run the ball away from them. He on the right side, you run left. He on the left, you run right. You know, just play smart. I just want to see us play smart for a change and do some things that could help benefit us. Because when we're on, man, we're on. When I say when our offensive staff is on, our defensive staff is on, I don't feel like nobody can touch us, Matt. And that's what I'm looking for right now this week. I want to see a big game. I'm coming up to this game because I want to see greatness. I'm expecting greatness. I love to see this team play, man. It's such an exciting team to watch. And I don't know when the transition started for me, but somehow or another, I became a fan. I'm no longer a player, but now I'm a fan of my own team. And I love seeing this team play.
You know, speaking of the preparation for the coaches, I think Harbaugh did something smart this week. He had the facility, I guess the grounds crew, they bulldozed the snow about, I think about 7 or 8 inches of snow that Westminster, Owings Mills area got. he had them practicing outside in the snowy conditions to get them ready mentally for Saturday night. It's going to be very cold. It's going to be, they're calling for 1 to 3 inches of snow in the metro area here in Baltimore. You know, it could be hit or miss, a little bit less or a little bit more, but it is going to be winter-like conditions. This isn't going to be one of those games where you're going to see Lamar air it out 40 times. And if he does, we're in trouble.
Right.
But this is a game that's hallmarked for a Derrick Henry like performance from the man himself. And I believe that they have been gearing up for this type of situation with Henry. He has been running the ball a lot the last month and a half or so. And I think they're just kind of getting him warmed up to where he might be, this might be a 26, 27 touch kind of night if they want to beat these boys convincingly. And like you said, they're healthy. Cam Hayward's healthy. He missed practice today for illness, but Cam's healthy. Watt's healthy. Deshaun Elliott's back in the lineup. Pickens is going to be in the lineup for them on offense this week. So they're going to have, this is, you know, a war of attrition every single week, you know, playing football, but this is intense right here. This is what sends us to Buffalo, or if things go differently, we could have a home game against either Denver or the winner of Los Angeles and Houston. So a lot's at stake, and a lot's being said about Lamar Jackson's playoff performances in the past. I believe that this is the year where he's just got to go out there and be Lamar. He's got to stop trying to fit into what this coaching staff wants him to fit into, like they tried to last year with all the throwing. If you want him to run, if he's got to run, he needs to run.
Yeah.
You know, it's different now. Derrick Henry takes a load off of Lamar Jackson because it's not like you got Gus and JK and all these guys out here, you know, less than, you know, superstar running backs. And, you know, it also helps that Mark Andrews is playing at his elite level of tight end. In the first 5 games of the season, Daniel, Mark Andrews didn't have a touchdown. He finished the last 12 games with 11. So the man is producing a touchdown a game nearly, and he's back to being one of the favorite targets again.
Yeah.
Isaiah likely is still getting, you know, the respect that he commands when he's out in the open field with the ball. They're trying to knock his block off because he's a tight end that's got moves like a wide receiver, which you know plenty about. So, I mean, I think you guys are ideally the same size, you know, from your playing days.
Yeah. I think Likely may be a little taller than me, but yeah, I think you're 100% right. He's a very shifty tight end, and he makes people miss in the open field, and he has a dead leg, man. That's about as good as anybody I think I've seen. He makes you think he's going one way. He puts his body out there. As soon as you jump, he pull that thing back, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful sight to watch. It's almost like a lazy, twitchy type movement that he has, and he has people falling on his face sometimes. They're diving in the air trying to get to him. I love that about Likely because it kind of mixes it up a little bit. Then if you get caught slipping, he may lower his shoulder and run you over too. That's the good part about him.
Yeah, I like his game. I think that he matches up well against this Pittsburgh linebacking core and secondary. He has, like you said, he's got the height. He's got the speed. He's a mismatch in terms of matchups for essentially everybody in their secondary. Yeah. I don't think anybody's fast enough. Minka could probably cover him, but you know, Minka's probably going to be shadowing Andrews everywhere he goes. But I don't want them to, like you said a couple minutes ago, I don't want the coaching staff to make this shit complicated because it's not. Just, you got the blueprint to beat these boys and you beat them, you know, two or three weeks ago, you took them out behind the woodshed and beat the hell out of them. And now they're healthy and everybody's playing. Now you got to go out there. This is the first game where Lamar needs to really just play his game, be effective, spread the ball around. Don't key on one receiver or another. And he does a great job of that this year. He hasn't really done that in any of the games. Most of the times you see that the target distribution is pretty much split up between four or five guys evenly, unless somebody's hot.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily worried about their offense the way that I usually would be, because Russell Wilson is having such a regression that it's insane that he hasn't thrown for more than 225 yards since the week before he played the Ravens.
Yeah.
I think it was the week before that, in their three game stretch in 10 days, but
right.
Russell's the chemistry is off right there with George Pickens. Freiermuth seems to be his go-to guy. Calvin Austin is starting to kind of come around a little bit in terms of rapport with Russell Wilson. But does it worry you that this might be a game where the Steelers insert Justin Fields into the fold, because they can't really run the ball with Najee Harris the way they used to? He's not really that much of a, it seems like their backup, Jaylen Warren's a better running back than he is. But Najee's so good in the pass game. But do you feel like this is one of those games where we see a lot more Justin Fields than we did in previous weeks?
I mean, if I'm Mike Tomlin, ain't a question in my mind what I'm doing. You know, Justin just gives you so much more athleticism at the quarterback spot. It kind of puts defenses in a bind. When you have somebody like Lamar or Justin back there with so much speed and so much explosiveness, like, that dude is tough. You know, hell, a couple of years ago, they were talking about he was the most dynamic running quarterback in the league. And the only reason they were saying that because Lamar wasn't running, of course. But, you know, Justin Fields was out there, you know, running the ball all up and down the field in Chicago. So, to me, in my mind, to have a quarterback that's explosive enough to run, you know he could win games for you. He already won some early in the year. And you took him out, you benched him for no reason. You benched him because you had already promised a spot Russell Wilson. Yeah, to Russell Wilson, you had already promised him a spot. Not only that, but you can't really lose your game, your position if you're hurt. That's how some coaches look at it. Like, you didn't lose it, you got hurt, you know. So Russ was supposed to be the starter when he came in here. Justin was supposed to be the backup. Plus, Justin has all these incentives. If he starts for a certain amount of game, you got to pay him like a ridiculous contract, like a ridiculous amount. And I don't think it's this year. I think it's the next year. The next year, you got to pay him like this big lump sum of money in his contract, you know, because he started a certain amount of game. Right when they took Justin out, he was at that max limit at that point. So you really don't want Justin to start right now if you're the Steelers. Now, if you're Mike Tomlin, you probably want him to start. But if you're still a franchise, you probably say, hell no, let Justin sit on the bench. Yeah, we're going to lose. We're going to lose with Russ this year. We'll shoot again for next year. I don't feel like these opportunities come by very easy. So I think you go out there with your best 11 guys on offense, defense, and special teams. And if you beat me, you beat me with my best 11, period. If Russ is your best 11, then damn it, play it. You see him every day. You know more than we know. We just see him on Sundays. And when we see him on Sundays, we over here scratching our head like, bruh, what about number one?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We're looking at the game like, what about number one over there? And at that time, I think Justin Fields could be just as good as any quarterback in this league. I don't give a damn what nobody say. That kid is extremely talented. I scouted him. I recruited him when he was in high school, before he went to Georgia. I saw that kid freaking play. He's phenomenal. The only reason he didn't start at Georgia because they already had a starting quarterback that just went to a national championship the year prior. And he got tired of sitting behind that kid because he knew he was better. And he ended up leaving to go to Ohio State. And he did exactly what I thought he was going to do at Ohio State, take them to a national championship. And at the end of the day, Matt, I don't give a damn who they got on Pittsburgh side. They're not winning this damn game. You know, this is our game to have. This is our year. We need to go take this thing. And we need to start the game off dominant, and we need to have enough confidence in ourselves and who we are that we go out here and play our best game. And I agree with you 100%, Matt. Lamar need to be freaking Lamar. I'm sick and tired of everybody trying to dictate how this man play his game, but then you slobbing down Josh Allen and you slobbing down Jaden Daniels and you slobbing down all the rest of the quarterbacks in the league that play games that are similar to Lamar. Everybody can do it, but when Lamar do it, there's a problem. I think that's bullshit. I say, Lamar, go play your damn game. Listen to your mom. She's also your agent. So forget. Listen to your agent, because your agent telling you, she's telling you straight up.
Agent run, mom run is never wrong.
Run the ball, baby.
You know, the only time I really cringed about Lamar running was last week against the Cleveland Browns, because I'm not calling them a dirty team because I don't think that's what it was, but anytime they could have got a shot at Lamar, you know,
everybody's dirty.
The last thing you want to do is have Lamar take a hit and all of a sudden
he's got a short. It's
part of the game, but you know, look what happened with Zay. You know, yeah. Zay got hit. We were already up a couple 100%. Touchdowns, 100%. and now it Zay, it does. It's football. I get it.
Shit.
What is it? I want you to kind of quantify it for everybody listening, Daniel. You spent 5 years here, and you played the Steelers probably a dozen times in your career, just as a Raven alone between the regular season and the postseason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What does this mean for you as a retired Raven? I'm not even gonna call you a fan because you played in this city. You wore the colors.
Yeah.
You still got the 83 hanging in your house.
Yeah.
What does this mean for you with the way the team is playing this year, and you've covered them for the entire year? What does this mean as a retired Raven for you? Does this mean more than the rest of the games that you've watched this year in terms of overall wanting it more, not just because it's the playoffs, but it's Pittsburgh?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like all year it's just like what Dion says at Colorado, right? You know, we coming. Then all of a sudden he said, we here, you know, all year long, we've been coming. At this point, we're here. All right. Now this is what we wanted to be. We right in the spot where we wanted to go, where we wanted to be at around this time of the year. Yeah. We like to have home field advantage throughout, but forget that. I'd rather be the underdog. Like I told you last week, I'd much rather be the underdog, because when we're the underdog, we take that shit personal. When we're the 10-point favorite, we come out here like, yeah, we're going to beat somebody. You know, no, bro, forget that. Take it personal. Have a chip on your shoulder. Ray used to say it all the time. Play pissed off. Play with a chip on your shoulder. Always play pissed off. And if you could play this game pissed off, man, every single time you take the field, if you got something to prove every single time you take the field, and every time you line up against your opponent, you try to beat his ass every single rep, every single play, and you dominate your opponent, you're going to win the game. That's what it's all about, you know, dominating your opponent. And we have to figure out a way to start separating ourselves. And I have this conversation with my 19-year-old all the time, Matt. I said, son, you got to separate yourself. Like, yeah, you're the best player on your team. Or, yeah, you lead the team in home runs. Yeah, you lead the team in RBIs. But what are you doing to separate yourself from everybody else? Like, you have to separate yourself. And that's what needs to start happening. Earlier in the year, people were starting to say, Ravens are the best team in the NFL. You know, and we started to separate ourselves a little bit. But a lot of that stuff is all gas, you know? It's all gas. And then all of a sudden, you don't get the brakes. You keep pressing the gas, and you run right into a brick wall. And now you crash. And you crashing out, and now you're trying to figure out how you can get back to pressing the gas again with an engine that's already broken. You know, so we've been there already this season. At this point, it's time for us to press the gas and understand when we got to slow down, when we got to, you know, take our time with certain teams and when in certain times of the game, and then press the gas when it's time to press the gas. But always attack. We always need to attack the teams that come into our house to play us at our home. And anywhere we go, we need to take over their trap. You know, like they came here talking about, yeah, we came to your trap, took over your trap. It's our turn to just, this is our trap, bro. Don't let nobody come in your trap and take over your trap. Let's go win. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It means a lot to me. Shit means a lot to me, man.
I know.
I want to go play right now, though. If I can go play right now, I go play right now. I know I pulled 3 hamstrings and I only got 2.
Look, I know that this is a big game. A lot of the retired Ravens, and for that matter, a lot of retired Steelers. This is the one that you always circle on the calendar, and it just means more because it's always a dogfight. It's rare that there's an ass whooping on one side or the other, with the exception of the last game, and that probably has left a bitter taste in their mouth. But I know that a lot of the games that you played against Pittsburgh, you had some really memorable games against them.
I don't remember any of them. Tell me about them, Matt.
Oh, really? Okay, we're going to go there. The one that still stands out to me is the game where you had the toe tap touchdown in the corner of the end zone. Mm-hmm. I believe it was in Pittsburgh, though. I don't think it was at home. I think we were wearing white. Oh, so
you,
I,
Yeah, I think it was Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you were. I believe that was. I believe it was a playoff game, if I'm not mistaken. But it was. You know, you always stepped up to the challenge. You've had some of your better games against Pittsburgh, and I know that you know. You stood across the line from some real warriors: Harrison, Woodley, you know, Brett Kiesel, Aaron Smith, and those guys. Like they
55 too. Joey Porter.
Yeah, Joey Porter.
First year.
Yeah.
He's a dog, though, dog. I ain't going to lie to you. When I first got here, I remember the first game we played him, I think, was here in Baltimore, and it was a game Ty Heap got hurt. And I was like, man, this cheap shot ass. He pushed Heap down because he said, man, I didn't know if he was hurt for real or not. But Heap got hurt on the play and ended up missing, like, almost four or five games, I think. Hurt his ankle or something. I can't remember what it was. But he limped to the line of scrimmage just so we could snap the ball and down it, I think. Mm. And Joey Porter came off and pushed him down. It's crazy. It's crazy, man. But I mean, that showed me at that moment exactly what kind of rivalry this really was, you know. And I was like, man, this is, you know, it does get a little dirty sometimes. You know, you do have some dirty plays sometimes. You do have some cheap shots and some shit talking and some moments that, you know, that make you really feel like, man, this ain't a football game. This is fucking war. You out here like you, man, bro, like what's wrong with these dudes? When you see people just throwing their bodies at you full speed without any hesitation, not without pressing the brakes at all, and they trying to run through you every single play, they hold you up and another two, three guys come and hit you and you taking hit after hit and you trying to roll off of them and you trying to roll off the hits the best you can, because if you don't, you're going to take those hits smack right to the body, man. And it's a tough game. It's one of the hard-nosed, most bloodiest games you're going to possibly see. And to me, like, if you get ejected, this is the game you get ejected. You take the personal foul. You get kicked out. You do whatever it takes to get your team pumped up enough to want to go out here and kill the other team on the other side. When I say kill, I'm not like really saying
obviously,
kill.
Obviously,
I got to be politically correct because we're doing this podcast. But, you know, you want to do everything you can to inflict harm on the other team so that they feel you every single play. You want them to feel you. And I think that's the way the Steelers are going to come into M&T Bank, because if they don't come in here that way, it's going to be a long-ass night for them, and they know it.
Did Ryan Clark hit as hard as it looked on television?
Yes. Ryan did not care about his body. He cared about inflicting pain. He's a true Pittsburgh Steelers. He could have been a Baltimore Raven any day, but he was a true Pittsburgh Steelers, and that was one of his biggest talents. Like, he had no fear when it comes to being physical. He wasn't the biggest guy on the field. So for him to come full speed and knock the piss out of you, you know, it was kind of crazy. He would do it while you saw him. But he would do it when you actually saw him, though. Like, I remember playing in Tampa with John Lynch, and I remember Lynch would only come full speed and knock the piss out of you if you didn't see him coming. All his shots was like blindside shots almost. Or you'll catch the ball and turn around, and he'll hit you as soon as you turn around. But Ryan Clark would look you right in your eye. He coming straight downhill, and he trying to punish you in the hole, you know. And that's a talent all in his own. That's a gift from God all in his own. That's a man in the arena, and he won't blink when he cuts your head off. You know, he's that type of warrior. So I rocked with Ryan a lot.
Yeah, those mid-2000s games, that was something like straight out of Gladiator. And you know, I'm anticipating a Ravens win this weekend, Daniel, as you are. Before we wrap the show and we do our picks of the game and our score prediction, you're going to be up here this weekend.
I'm coming.
What are you doing at halftime?
I think I have some kind of event down on the field. The Ravens asked me to do some kind of event, so I'll be there. I'm not 100% sure because I haven't read the whole thing yet, Matt, but I think it's one of those like football toss type things that I got to do. So I'll probably be down on the field with a jersey on. And a good friend of mine is actually coming in town with me, Jeremy Danner. He's a friend of mine from back when I was in college, and, you know, he's from North Carolina area. He's going to fly up with me, and he's coming to the game. So I think this is his first Baltimore Ravens game. He's never been to a Ravens game. And because
first one to go to.
This is the first one he's ever been to in person. And because of me, he's a true Raven fan, like diehard. Like, he's in Charlotte wearing his purple every single Sunday. I mean, he's going to the Ravens Nest meetings in Charlotte. I didn't even know Charlotte had a Ravens Nest, but somehow he's found it. And he's there sending me pictures every single week. Like, we here, dog, representing, dog. So it's just, it's kind of dope that I get a chance to take him to his first Ravens game, man. He's a really good friend of mine. I love him to death like a brother, and he's coming up the road with me. So I'm excited about getting him down on the field with me at halftime to do that. Maybe he'll get a chance to feel the energy that I felt for so long, man, because it's nothing like being on the turf and on the grass at M&T Bank Stadium in front of, you know, the Ravens roofs, the Ravens nest, the Ravens fans, the Ravens families. I mean, it's a beautiful thing, man. I love it.
Absolutely. I can't wait for them to post that on the social media. You trying to throw a ball through one of the nets out there. So warm that shoulder up. Yeah. I'm going to have to remind you to read everything that they want you to do anyway. So
yeah,
I'll shoot you that reminder text in the morning, but
Luck. I throw the ball up in the stands or something.
Yeah. And you can't be any worse than Sam Gash was when at the Bengals game. That was bad. I love Sam Gash, but oh my Lord. Yeah. Anyway, so offensive player of the game, defensive player of the game, and score prediction for this wild card weekend. Daniel,
offensive player of the game, I'm going with Derrick Henry and Keaton Mitchell. Okay. I think them boys are going to turn up this week, and Justice Hill too. I'm going to go with the running backs. So I'm just pick a position because I feel like that's what I got to do this week. It's going to be one of those type of games. So positions, I'm going to go with the running backs this week. I think they're going to kill it. So look for those boys to have a hell of a game. A big time involvement in the game plan this week, because we have to be physical with it being so nasty the way it's supposed to be. It's hard to throw the ball when it's snowing like crazy. It's hard to throw the ball when it's raining like crazy. The easiest thing to do is turn around and hand it off. That's the safest thing to do it as well. So I'm looking to get a heavy dose of our running backs. So on defense, I feel like the big predictor of this game is going to be our front four. Our front three, our front four, our front five, whoever we got down on the line of scrimmage, those guys, Meta BK and those guys, they're going to be Pierce, all those guys. They're going to be the ones, you know, Van Noy, all those guys up front will be the ones. Owe will be the ones that will really shut this game down. So I'm going to go to D-line this week. And then the score prediction, I still feel like we're going to win this game by at least 17, 21 points. So I'm going to go with the Ravens again. I really feel like we got some shit to prove this week. And I think we need to put the league on notice. And we've been trying to do it the last 3 or 4 weeks. And I think we have. People know we for real again. You know, so I feel like this would be the stamp. We already feel some kind of way about this whole, we beat y'all 8 out of 9 last time, out of the last 9 times, and all that type of mess. You know, so now they can't say that now. Now they got to say we beat y'all 8 out of the last 10 times. So the ones that count are the ones that's going on right now. The time we played them last, that shit counted. This one right here counts big time. We cannot let these boys come in our house and try to take over our trap. It's our trap. It's our house. It's our bank. Ain't nobody coming here to do nothing to us. This we charming as hell because we charm city, but we also nasty as hell because it's B-more. And we can't wait to get a hold of these boys this week. So I'm going to say we're going to win by 21. I'm going to say the final score is 28-7.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. That is confidence right there. I love the energy. I love the confidence. Player of the game on offense for me, I am going to say that this is a Rashad Bateman game. I think that he's still going to get off. I think this is going to be one of his. I picked him a couple weeks ago. I don't think he necessarily went off, but I think this is he shows up and he shows out. I think that he's going to, you know, he's got the largest degree of separation for wide receivers in the NFL. The dude gets separation like crazy. Pittsburgh's cornerbacks aren't going to be able to keep up with that all game. So Rashad Bateman got him, you know, being the offensive player of the game. Defensively, this is a Roquan game. This is a Roquan Smith game. I think that he does something that turns the tide of this game and either gives us the momentum that we need or he locks it away with a turnover, whether it's a fumble or an interception. I think this is a game where Roquan stamps himself as a Ravens warrior linebacker against Pittsburgh, you know, when it matters most, because like everybody says, you're not a real Raven until you beat the Steelers. And now they all got that win. And now this time to go make a big play and cement yourself in Ravens lore. So I got Roquan being the player of the game on defense. I do believe Pittsburgh's going to score more than 7, but I think it's only going to be a field goal more. I believe that this is going to be a 31-10 ball game. I do believe it's going to be a 3-touchdown game. The 31-10 is my final prediction for the playoff game this weekend. And hopefully, you know, if all things go well, we're heading to Buffalo next week. You know, if Bo Nix does, if Bo Nix does what Bo Nix does, we will see seeing somebody else. Because nothing would make me happier than to see Josh Allen get a first round exit. Because I'm a hater, and I'm an admitted hater. So
have they decided who the MVP is yet?
No, and I don't care at this point. I don't care. Yeah. We know it's Lamar Jackson. They're going to give it the part. It's going to be the most valuable participation trophy with that goofball up in Buffalo. Before I wrap the show, I know that I said it a couple minutes ago. It was released today by the New York Times that the reason why Eddie Jackson was cut from the Ravens,
I saw that,
is that he had an open blow up argument with Zach Orr at practice in front of other players and coaches. I don't know about you, but you'll get fired from any job doing that if you have an argument with your boss.
Yeah. Man.
You know, in front of other workers and in front of other staff. But, you know, I think that also speaks volumes to how Marcus Williams is handling this whole situation. So the fact that we haven't heard anything negative out of the camp of Marcus Williams, he might be, I'm sure he is unhappy, but he's being a true professional, not being an embarrassment. So if anybody wants to check that out, it's on New York Times with Eddie Jackson. But
I saw an interview with Jimmy Smith too, and he was kind of talking about the whole Marcus Williams things too, man. I thought it was pretty interesting as well. And he was at the, he was at the tailgate, the pregame tailgate thing, I think, last week. And I thought Jimmy did a really good job of kind of giving an explanation of what Marcus is actually dealing with mentally in that position and how he has to go back there and try to be something that he really isn't in the defense that we have, that we put him in. Because you got to be a thumper and a hitter to be in this defense. And he's not. You know, he's always been like a ball hawk. And you saw that the first year he came in. He was a ball hawk like crazy, picking off everything. And then year two, he came in and things changed a little bit and they wanted him to kind of come downhill and start hitting people. Then that's not who he really was. He hurt his shoulder that year and he hadn't really been the same since.
Yeah. If you don't got that dog in you, you know, you're not going to be able to fit in. But that'll do it, Daniel, for the preview show for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll be back tomorrow night with a quick segment. We are having an interview with a renowned surgeon that, you know, is going to talk to us a little bit about the Zay Flowers injury. So that's been booked for us tomorrow night with Dr. Chow. But we'll be back again on the weekend for the post game, most likely on Sunday after you're home and you know, safely travel back to your great state of Georgia. But that'll do it, folks. Been brought to you by BetOnline.ag, the number one most trusted source for online gambling. Daniel, that is a wrap.
All day. Bird game, babe. Can't wait. Game time. Steelers coming for you.